whenever I have the opportunity to speak, and I was Joel and I were talking about how I haven't spoken yet in this new building, so I haven't been able to meet you all yet. But whenever I have the opportunity to speak, I always like to tell you a little tidbit about Pastor Joel from the home. Now, I have to tell you, this man, no, this is a secret. This man is exactly the same at home as he is on the platform. This man has nothing to hide. He is such a man of integrity, and I love that. Pastor Joel is himself up here, but he is also the same lover of God, the same person who lives by the word behind closed doors. And I think that's very important that you know that about your pastor, because you can trust him and you can trust who he is. So honey, I really appreciate you. Also appreciate our team and those who help us run this place. Pastor Joel and I are the leaders of this house, or the under shepherds of this house, but we have an incredible team that makes it happen. Amen. I'm sure you guys are thankful for them, because without them, no coffee, no donuts, no tea. Apparently it's very important. Amen. All right. Well, this morning we're starting a brand new series for the church that Pastor Joel is going to continue for a couple of weeks, and it's called Resensitize. Can you say resensitize? Now, the word sensitive means to be highly responsive to. So we're talking about becoming more and more responsive to the Lord. This doesn't mean that you don't respond to the Lord right now. I know a lot of you are in a place where you're like, I've been walking with the Lord, and day by day I'm getting more and more responsive. That's what we're talking about. On purpose, engaging our hearts with the Lord to be responsive to him. So I want to start out this morning just talking really quickly about the heart before we get kind of jump into why we can trust the Lord with our heart, and just how to engage more and more of our heart with him. And I just want to say, for those of you, don't raise your hand if this is you, but if you're feeling like your Sunday mornings at church or your Christianity feels a little bit stagnant, then I want to encourage you. It may be that you have stopped engaging your heart with the Lord, or there's maybe an area that you haven't been engaging in with the Lord. So this morning, Pastor Joel already prayed, but let's just take one more moment. Father, we thank you again for this time. And Lord, I just dedicate myself to you to be a mouthpiece for you. I thank you that your word speaks for itself. And so we stand on that this morning, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. So God says what the heart is and what he wants with it. The heart is basically the core of our being. And it includes our emotions, it includes our thoughts, it includes our will, includes our personality. Your heart is the core of who you are. And Jesus always dealt with people's hearts. God talked about our hearts in the Old Testament. Jesus talked about them in the New Testament. But I want to just show you in Proverbs 4:23, obviously how important the heart is to the Lord, because it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The core of who we are, we're supposed to guard that with all that we have. So when we're talking about resensitize, we're talking about learning to bring that heart, the core of who we are, before the Lord, and to engage with him with it. In Matthew, Jesus talked about the heart. He's quoting Isaiah here, but in Matthew 15:18, he said, these people draw near me with their mouths and they honor me with their lips. And you'd think that that would be all right, right? These people come to church and they're like, hey, Jesus, we love you. They're honoring him with their lips, but their hearts hold off and their hearts are far from me. So we're not talking about the fact that we're not Christians. When we're talking about resensitize, we're getting more and more sensitive to his leading, more and more sensitive to him working in our hearts. But it may be that we're holding our heart a little bit far off from him. Does that make sense? So if Christianity is feeling stagnant, like I said, this may be for you. If those of you are feeling like, no, I am loving my walk with God just day by day, I'm seeing something new from the Lord, then I still encourage you, this is for you, because there is always that little bit more intimacy that we can go with through the Lord. And I love this word actually came out of Pastor Joel's personal prayer time, and he was told this is for the church. And so whenever the Lord gives a word to this church specifically, we like to just go all in on that, because put up your hand if you're in the building right now. Then you're supposed to be here hearing Resensitive, because you're here in this church. Amen? All right, so God wants access. I want to talk about a couple of perspective shifts today. If you've been in this church for a while, I'd say probably the last maybe 3 years, God has really been nailing down religion, religious mindsets. How many of you are in the same boat as me where I'm like, I wouldn't have said that I was steeped in religious thoughts or religious mindsets or even religious ways of approaching God. And then for the last couple of years, Pastor Joel has gotten up here and brought messages where I'm like, oh, wow, I was so steeped in religion and how I approached God or what I thought he expected of me. Am I the only one? No. Amen. Thank you, Andy. We actually get a lot of testimonies of people that say, God drew me here to help me unravel from my heart just religious ways of operating. So here's a couple I want to deal with today. And number one is that God is not asking for more from us. He's asking for more of us. And I love that, where's Joel? Not my Joel, but Joel Peters came up here and gave such a sweet testimony this morning. And that really goes along with that. God's not asking for more from you, because if you've ever felt like, oh man, okay, now I gotta worship. First, I gotta get to church on time. I'm supposed to bring my tithes. What's a tithe? Oh man, now they want me to come back on Sunday night for another service? No, God's not looking for more from us. He is looking for more of us. What a good father we have, that saying, no, I need more access to the core of who you are, and then I will work in that. Like Brother Joel said this morning, he felt like he was just giving God this, and what God could do with this, he's like, oh man, now that makes me want to give him this. That's what we're talking about with resensitize. It's a perspective shift though, right? God wants us to be filled up with him alone, knowing that when you're full of God, what do you hunger for? More of him. When you're full of him, you don't have an appetite to hunger after things that maybe you used to. And if you can think back on your life, I can think back on mine about how I maybe would have hungered after things in my younger years. I was very eager and very determined and pursuing my destiny and pursuing dreams and pursuing purpose in my life. Well, when you shift that and you're pursuing him alone, those desires are met, and we're created that way. I want to show you that. Let's let the word speak for itself this morning in John 4. Take a look at verse 13 first. This is Jesus talking to the woman at the well, and he says, everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water, satisfying his thirst for God, welling up, continually flowing, bubbling within him to eternal life. When you place God and let him have access to all of your heart, again, not wanting more from us, but wanting more of us. Do you know God does that for our own protection? He says, I know that I'm the only one who can satisfy because I made you that way. And so he is a jealous God in that way. He wants all of us. That's why he says in Mark, it says to love him with all your heart. See, when you read that with a religious glass or religious glasses, and I used to, I'd be like, I got to love God with all my heart. Oh, I got to love God with all my mind. Okay, shoot. Okay, I got to love God with all my soul. By this point, I'm getting tired, right? I got to love God with all my strength. Wow. No, you can read the word like that, or you can read it from God's perspective of, hey, I want you to love me with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, because that's how you were created. And that's how you'll find the most fulfillment. And that's how you'll find what you need in life. And that's how you'll be protected. Amen? He's not looking for something for you this morning or from you this morning. He wants more of you. So again, we're resensitizing ourselves to the presence of God, to the Spirit of God. I just want to quickly show you this scripture that I'm sure a lot of you know, but you can stand on this for resensitize. It's James chapter 4, verse 8. And it says to move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. We're supposed to be moving our heart closer and closer. You should be able to look at your Christianity and be like, yeah, I'm not in the same place that I was last year. Remember, we're not supposed to feel like we've arrived. But we should be able to look back and be like, yeah, I'm not quite who I was, because I have moved my heart a little bit closer and closer to the Lord. So we're going to look at a couple of aspects of moving our heart closer. I love to be really practical, because so whenever I see a scripture, like, can move my heart close, my first question to the Holy Spirit is always, show me how. Hello, need help over here. Move your heart closer and closer to the Lord. So number one, I would say when you have a perspective shift, that is one of the main things. Basically, most of Christianity, most of reading the Bible is giving us a new paradigm, right? Is giving us a new perspective of God. Or in Romans, it calls transforming the way you think. So a lot of these this morning are going to be perspective shifts. And I believe that there is at least one for each of us this morning. Amen? So number one, our perception of God and what he thinks about us will completely impact how much of your heart you give to him, right? Your perception of him. If you think that when you draw near to God that he's going to be sitting there with a clipboard and like, mm-hmm, yeah, saw you do this yesterday, yeah, and that was wrong. If you feel like God's just sitting there with a list of your sins, it's going to impact, right, how you draw near to him. We will live our lives out of what we believe God thinks about us. You may not even realize that you're doing that, but it is true. You will live your life based out of what you think God thinks about you. If you think God's like, you are always failing. You are always coming up short. You're going to live your life trying harder, working harder. If you feel like God's looking at you like, yeah, they're welcome in my presence because they're quite holy. You are not welcome in my presence. You're going to live your life retracting your heart from God, not engaging your heart from God. So our perspective is everything. Whatever you are rooted in is what's going to come out in our lives. So if we're rooted in thinking that God is mad at us, then we're going to pull away. What about if we're rooted in the fact that God loves us? Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 3:17. It says, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. And then hear this part. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. May you be rooted deep in love. If we're rooted in wrong beliefs about God, and all of us have some wrong beliefs about God, all right? So if you're thinking, wow, every Sunday I come here, I hear something about God that I'm like, oh, I didn't know that before. I'm not going to get into this today, but this week, man, I got completely rocked. I even had to text Joel yesterday, like, I'm still reeling from this revelation the Holy Spirit gave me. I'm not going to tell you because, A, I'm not ready to preach yet, and B, you guys might be like, I already knew that. So, but we are all rooted in some sort of wrong belief. We're constantly peeling it back. If you live in the world, you're hearing wrong belief constantly, right? So don't hear any of this with condemnation. You've got to hear it through love. If you're rooted in wrong beliefs, it's going to be hard to engage our heart with the Lord, right? If you're rooted in condemnation and constantly aware of your shortcomings, then you're going to have a hard time engaging your heart with him. You know, when you come to church, has this ever happened to anyone? And you fought with your kids or your husband before you even get here, and you finally get to your church and you stand up here and worship. You come running in, you made it just at the end of the countdown. Whew. And you have a hard time lifting your hands to the Lord. Has that ever happened to anyone? Please don't raise your hand. Just me. All right. You know, when you're rooted in that condemnation, it's hard to engage. It's hard to engage with him. So whenever you catch that wrong belief, like I said, we've all got them, you have to take a hold of that and you have to get rid of it. We must make sure our roots are going down into the right place. And it says in Ephesians 3 here, we've got to be founded securely on love. You've got to let his love nourish your heart. Be founded securely on the fact, I know that I know that I know that I'm loved. And Pastor Joel and I has been honest over the last couple of years, and I had the same thing of, it's so much easier to tell someone else God loves them. And then one day you turn around and realize, I don't even know if I believe that for me. You've got to personalize it. You've got to know that your roots are going down into that. And you know what? That's the
That's the work side. Those are okay works to have in your Christianity, where you're taking the word and you're applying it to your life, and then you've got this thought that comes and goes contrary. Nope, I put that thought aside. I get what the word says. I'm getting that in. I'm standing on that. That's the work side, and that's okay. It's going to take a little bit of effort on our behalf because the enemy is constantly there chirping, isn't he? So we know what we're rooted in, and we are rooted in. Aw, good job. You know, my pastor growing up, he actually had Werther's Originals in his pocket, and he would toss them out during the message if you got stuff right, and then someone got one in the eye, and then it was over. So we don't do that here. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about vulnerability. I'm going to be vulnerable right now and talk about vulnerability. Like, naturally speaking, it opening up our heart to another person, it's an exercise in vulnerability, isn't it? If you're going to be real with someone, whether it's a spouse or a friend or someone that you've just met, you're showing them your hurt, you're showing them your questions, you're showing them parts of yourself, and whether you knew it or not, you're asking, am I okay? Like, do they see me and do they still like me? Especially when you're opening up to someone about something that's been hard. Naturally speaking, vulnerability, it really is an act of trust. Now, when we think about being vulnerable with our Lord and our Savior, when we talk about being vulnerable and open with the Holy Spirit, it's the same thing. It is an act of trust. It's an act of faith to know, okay, I'm welcome in His presence. I'm going to open up my heart to Him. It's vulnerable, especially when we're working through something. So I want to show you a few things that God says about us to show us how safe and how fully known, how secure, how accepted we are in Him. Because when you see these things, you can't help but want to expose or engage more and more of your heart to Him. Amen? All right, so like I said, vulnerability with the Lord, it is a choice. It's a practice, and it is a walk of faith, but it is so worth it. I think I have a slide. I have a little picture here. I didn't take this picture. It's off the internet. The Lord gave me a vision I guess this is going on 15 years ago now. I was walking through a lot of grief. I'd lost a parent at a young age. I was 25, like 3 months after Joel and I got married. We got a call in the middle of the night that my dad had passed away. And I feel like the Lord supernaturally walked me through that, and Joel can attest to that there was some incredible things. I'd never walked through grief before. I didn't know, but He led me by the hand. But that journey began with this picture He gave me, and He showed me that I was at a lake like this, surrounded by beautiful mountains, and that I was just dipping my toe in, and then I would get scared. And then I would try again. I was dipping my toe in, and I'd back off. Back away, and I was too scared to get fully into the lake. Maybe it was cold, I don't know. But He showed me that I was doing that with my heart. I was too afraid of the sadness, of the grief, of the hurt. I was too afraid to open my heart to Him. So I was just doing a little bit, like dipping my toe in the lake and then pulling back. And He said, you've got to go all in with me, just like you would run and just jump into that lake. And I do believe that the wholeness that I see in my life and walking through that supernatural grief is a result of that word that God gave me. He said, you got to go all in with your heart. And I'm not saying that I have done that perfectly, not at all. I'm saying I'm constantly on that journey. But the fact that you can be aware, wait a second, I'm not opening up my heart to the Lord in this area because it hurts, because I'm scared of what I might see on the other side, and He will walk us through. We are so safe with Him, and now I'm 15 years past that day that He gave me that vision, and I can tell you, I've never looked back, and I've never regretted. When you decide to go all in and you stop just dipping your toe into that hurt, and you decide, you know what, Lord, I'm going all in with my heart, you will not regret it. So let's take a look at in order for me to do that, use me as an example, unless one of you wants to come up here. Yeah, I had to know I was safe with Him, right? trust and vulnerability and openness, it requires us to know that we're safe with someone. And in this case, it requires us to know we're safe with the Lord. So take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. Trust requires us knowing we are safe. It says, love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as a defeat. Let me give it to you in a different translation. Love is a safe place that offers shelter. God's love offers you shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. No, the footnote on this verse in one translation, it says, love is a safe place that offers shelter, not exposure. So in our natural selves, when we bring our heart to the Lord in a certain area, you might feel exposed. We're going to talk about Adam in a few minutes here. He felt a little naked. So you might feel a little exposed, but God's love, it's like a roof or a shelter over you. And he says, no, no, no. My love covers over you. It can bear all things. You're safe. You're secure in my love. And when you know that you're safe with him, you'll open up, right? When you know that you're safe, and I want to encourage you, if you're like, yeah, I'm the person from Matthew 15 that said, I can stand and worship all day and with my lips honor the Lord, but I'm like, hey, you're not getting in my heart. I want to encourage you, take a step this week, knowing that you're safe. Take a step knowing he's not going to use it against you. He knows everything anyways. Isn't that so dumb of us? We're like, I'm going to hold this part of my heart back from you. And he's like, I know it all anyways. So in order to trust, we need to know that we're safe. In order to trust, we also need to know that we're accepted. Right? Again, I said, you're going to live your life based out of what you think God believes about you. If you think that God's like, yeah, work a little bit harder before you can come and be with me, you're going to withhold. But when you know that you're accepted, that's like the bedrock foundation of being able to trust in the Lord. So let's look at Romans 8:15. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 15, it's talking about this spirit of adoption that we've received. It says that we did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading us back into the fear of never being good enough. Let's just stop there for 1 second. If you are feeling like you are not good enough, that is a lot of the religious mindsets I was carrying. Not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. Thinking that it was the Holy Spirit just kind of convicting me of different things. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit doesn't even convict you of things. That's for another message. He doesn't. It says he convicts the world of the sin of not believing in Jesus. I was always thinking, I'm not good enough, not good enough. That must be God just putting his hand on my heart and being like, yeah, work a little harder in this. No, that is the spirit of religious duty, it said, that leads us back into the fear of never being good enough. But what have we received? We have received the spirit of full acceptance, not just partial. Not just when you're in church doing Christian-y things, not just when you, you know, are kind to your spouse and don't blow up at your children, not just then, no. Every second of every day, you have received a spirit of full acceptance. Can you say, I am fully accepted? You may need to say that a lot at home because we've got an enemy of our soul and he is chirping and he is saying, how dare you say that? No, you've received a spirit of full acceptance. And because of that, because you know that you're accepted, you can open your heart to the Lord. You can be resensitized. You can be highly responsive because you know it doesn't matter what I bring to the Lord. I am fully accepted and nothing is going to change that. When you know that you're secure and you're safe, this is a quote from Cloud and Townsend. They do a lot on spiritual growth and personal growth and boundaries. And they say, in any relationship to grow and change, we have to first know that we're secure. And again, that is one of the religious mindsets that God has lifted off of us, is that you don't have to be cleaned up before you come to him. I forget how many people got baptized last week. 26 people got baptized last week. But do you know whenever we have a baptism service, some people say, oh, I really want to get baptized, but I got to clean up my life first. What? That's not how you receive salvation. No, we're accepted right here, right now. So another way to feel safe. Now we've talked about when you feel safe, you can trust. We've talked about you when you feel accepted, you can trust. Another way to feel safe is knowing that someone is for you. Amen. When you want to open up to someone about something that's going on in your life, you're like, well, I first want to know that they're on Team Jamie. Because if they're anti me, they're just going to use that against me, right? You've really got to know and believe that the Lord is for you before you're going to open up. Now, I want to share with you something the Lord rocked me with a little bit this week, is that I'm going to read you a scripture and then show you how I would read this backwards. So take a look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 to 19. And it says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. So God was reconciling us back to him. See, I would read it sometimes that God had to be reconciled back to us. Basically, like Jesus was like, come on, God, come on. You got to give him a second chance. Come on, please. No, God had to reconcile us back to him. He never left. He never turned his back on us. He never was like, oh, I'm done with them. Again, they said they were done with that sin. And again, they're walking on it. No, Jesus didn't have to change God's mind about you. God was always for you. He was always for me. He was reconciling us back to him. He was making a way for you and I to come back to him. In Christ, God exchanged equivalent value to redeem or reconcile us to himself. This is a quote from the Mirror. It's not a translation, but it's a paraphrase Bible. It says, Jesus didn't need to change his father's mind about us. He went to the highest extreme in this act of reconciliation to persuade us of our original worth. We needed the persuading that God was for us, not against us, didn't we? It wasn't God that needed his mind changed. He has always been for us, always will be for us. It was us who got these ridiculous mindsets and thought patterns that were like, oh, I think God's mad at me today, right? So in order to be safe, in order to be open with the Lord, in order to engage our hearts, we need to know that someone, or in this case, God is for us. Now, I only have a couple of more points here, but this one I just really want to narrow down on, is that when you open up your heart to the Lord and when you know that you're in a safe place with him, you can be fully known and yet fully loved. And I want to take a look at just a couple verses in Psalm 139. We've probably read, there's so much to this psalm, you've probably read it a number of times. I'm going to pull out a piece from the beginning, the middle, and the end. So if you look at verse 1-4, bear with me, I'm going to read probably about 6 verses here. This is David talking, remember, man after God's own heart. And he says, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. So again, you can't hide your heart from him, right? He knows anyway, but he wants you to bring it to him. You understand my every thought before it enters my mind. You're so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. And you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. Isn't that beautiful? Then skip down to verse 17 and 18. It says, every single moment you're thinking about me. And listen to the thoughts he's thinking about us. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of sand on every seashore. Okay, so we see God is so for us. We see that we're fully known and yet fully loved in him. So what should our response be? In James 4, we saw, move your heart. closer and closer to God. Well, here's David tells us what his response is, and I want to be the same. In verse 23 and 24, he says, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me and put me to the test. Sift through my anxious cares. See if there's any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you. In a different translation, it says, point out anything in me, Lord, that offends you. Now, perspective is everything, because if you believed, or in this case, let's use David, if he believed that God was out to get him, that God was just going to slap him for all the bad he did, he wouldn't even pray that prayer. God, point out anything in me that offends you. But when you know what your God thinks about you, you can come to a church service, you can come to a prayer meeting, you can be alone in your bedroom before him, and you can say, God, point out anything in me that offends you. Point out anything in me that doesn't line up with your word, because you know he only has the best for you. Do you see the perspective shift there? If you do not believe that about God, you're going to hold that heart away from him. You're going to put your own protection over that heart and try and hide from him. And we're going to see what happens right here with Adam, how well that worked out for him. But perspective is everything. It's not so God can slap us. It's so he can access our heart. We saw in the beginning of Psalm 139, he knows everything anyways, right? David's like, and David didn't write that psalm like, oh gosh, God, you know my heart. He wrote it like it was a safe thing. God, you know my heart. You even know my thoughts before I think them. He wrote it like it was a good thing. And sometimes I've read it like, oh, God, you know everything. Wow. No, and because it was such a good thing, David was like, okay, because it's so good, I want you to point out if I'm walking on a path that's leading to pain. God, can you point out if I start taking steps down this path and that path is going to lead to pain? Why? Why would God want to redirect us? Because his path leads to wholeness. And his path leads to peace and life. Amen? I want God to tell me when I'm walking off his path. And remember, his telling you does not sound like, yep, failed again. It's so gentle. It's so kind. So really quickly, I just want to show you the opposite. Like David was our great example here that we just read. Let's just take a quick look at what happened with Adam, because we do not want to do what Adam did, all right? We want to be David's in this situation. The Adam example, to me, is the negative alternative to not being vulnerable with God, to not being open with God, to trying to cover up your own heart before God. So in Genesis 3, verse 7, this is right after Adam and Eve did something really naughty, right? They ate the fruit, if you're new. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. Okay? They're feeling extremely exposed right now. They're feeling extreme guilt and shame. So what did they do? When you do something that stupid, what do? You don't run away from God. You gotta go to him. They felt naked, so they sewed fig leaves together. They made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife, they heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from God. And the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, because I was exposed, because I did something wrong, and so I hid." This is the example we don't want to follow, but let's take a look at it anyway. It's an example of what happens when you are not vulnerable and open before the Lord, when you withdraw your heart from him. You know that Adam and Eve walked with God, talked with God, had this intimate relationship until, oops, sinned, oops, disobeyed, majorly, by the way, made this big issue. But what did they do? Human nature always tries to cover up our mess before we come to God, don't we? human nature will always, that's just our default setting, right? Is, oh no, I made a mess. I have to cover that up. And then I come to God, right? When I always tell this message, or I always tell this story in kids' church, and my littlest brother-in-law is here this morning. He's heard this many a time. One of my, when I think back when I was a kid and I felt guilty about a couple of things, I was a really good kid. I'm serious. I was a rule follower. I did not get in trouble that often. But one time I ate an entire cake that my mom had baked and put on the counter, like almost the entire thing. I just went for it. It's a Betty Crocker boxed cake, the one with the little sprinkles in it. One of Joel's favorite cakes, by the way. He's a very easy man to satisfy. I ate almost the entire thing, and I'm an only child. So who do you blame it on? The cat. I blamed it on the cat. And so my mom came home, and I'm like, and the cat at that time was just small. So I'm thinking, how could the cat have eaten that whole cake? I should ask my mom, actually, if she believed me or not. But anyway, I blamed it on the cat. I said that the cat ate it, and I felt super guilty. But of course, even as a young child, I was probably 8 or 9 or something, my first instinct, just human nature, was to cover up my mess, right? And Adam and Eve had the same thing. Their first instinct was, okay, we got to sew fig leaves together, and we've got to go and hide ourselves from the Lord. And that is the exact opposite of what we should do. We've got to train ourselves. Run to him. Don't run away from him. We try and hide ourselves as a protection because we feel shame. We feel vulnerable. We feel wrong. And so we try and cover it up. And it's basically the stupidest thing. We look as stupid as Adam and Eve sewing fig leaves. And we read Genesis and we think, didn't they know any better? Don't we know better? My goodness. There's this statement that's been rolling around in my heart, and Connie and I were both trying to find where it came from. I thought it was Freedom Session language, but we can't find it in there. But it's this: turn from the ways you've sought to save yourself. Turn from trying to protect your own heart. I don't know what kind of setting you grew up in, but you may have learned, oh, I cannot open my heart to someone. I have got to protect it myself. Turn from the ways you've sought to protect, that you've sought to save yourself. This is how we withdraw from the Lord, or we try and cover up our sins, and ultimately we hide or withdraw our heart from him. No, instead we need to hold our heart wide open to him and say, God, I'm dipping my toe in and it hurts, but I'm going to go all in. I'm going to open my heart wide open to him. When we think about vulnerability with the Lord, I'm going to call up just Sune, actually. Sune, you out there somewhere? Sune, she does this. Some people have said tickling the ivories. There's been preacher fails that Joel's like, don't say that. You can accidentally say things that you don't want to say. She plays the keys beautifully. Ushers in the presence of God. Now I've lost you. Come back. I just want to sum this up with vulnerability with God in light of all these things we're talking about. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it tells us how to approach God with an open heart. And it says, therefore, let us with privilege. I love that word. What a privilege it is to approach him. Approach the throne of grace. That is the throne of God's gracious favor with confidence. Approach him, take your heart to him with confidence, without fear, that you will receive mercy for your failures and find amazing grace to help in your time of need. When we're open and honest with the Lord in our time of need, we can just march on up to that throne and say, I plead the blood of Jesus. I stand here on the basis of what Jesus did, and God, I need help. And guess what? All of heaven is at your disposal. We heard that this morning. We heard that just speaking the name of Jesus over depression, over family situations, over anxiety, just speaking the name of Jesus, all of heaven backs that up. So why would you and I, in our time of need, withdraw our hearts, protect our own hearts, hide our hearts, try and provide for our own hearts. Why? Why would we do that? We want to remain open to the Lord. Now, this is a statement the Lord gave me yesterday, and I believe it's for me and you, and I believe it's for right now. He said, an open heart is a landing strip for the Holy Spirit. We have got to let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. Even when you hear this message today about opening up your heart to the Lord, someone in here is starting to think of how they need to do that. And I'm telling you right now, you just say, Lord, my heart is open. And he says that heart is a landing strip for the Holy Spirit to come in. That Holy Spirit, oh man, he is not talked about enough. We are not engaging with him enough. He is the teacher. He is the comforter. He is the advocate. He is the counselor to the church. And he's saying, yeah, give me that open heart and here I come. Your heart is a landing strip for me to come in and for me to have my way. And so I'm going to ask you to stand this morning with me, and I want to say a few of these things together. The Holy Spirit reminds us of who we are and whose we are. He says, I'm going to bring all things to your remembrance. Everything Jesus said, I'm going to bring all that back. He says, I'm going to remind you of who you are and who you belong to. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to engage your heart with him. Father, oh Lord, if we could just see through your eyes, Lord, your great love for us. Oh Father, we'd fall at your feet and say, have it all. And so this morning, Lord, from a heart perspective, we do say, have it all. All. You can keep your eyes closed, and I want you to say this with me. Say, my heart is open. It is a landing strip for the Holy Spirit. I let God work in my heart. I give him more access to my heart. And I want you just to take a moment of quiet here. Let's give him that access. Oh, Lord. Shake it. Oh, you are good. You're so good, Lord. Lord, we're safe. Show us how safe we are. We can be our true selves. Thank you, Lord. We're secure. Our hearts can be open because we're secure in you. It's such a safe place to just open, to allow you to work. Thank you, Lord. And church, sometimes he uses people to come alongside your heart. And so I want to encourage you, you cannot do this journey alone. When we're talking about being resensitized to the Lord and his leadings and his presence, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. I encourage you, get to church every chance you get, but also find someone you can open your heart up to. Ask the Lord for that person. And I just want to pray over us this morning before we close off. Father, we thank you so much for what you've shown us in your word. Father, we pray that as we go throughout our week, Holy Spirit, you said that our open heart was a landing strip for you. So I stand on that for us as a family. Holy Spirit, you are working in our hearts. You who started this work, you're bringing it to completion. You're the one doing the work. We're the one being open. And we believe that, Lord, that you're working in us. And we just say thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I believe this is a hungry, open church. Is that who you are? I believe it this morning.